last night, as I was telling you earlier, I surprised myself yesterday when I had to run through that great catch cry. Faster than speeding ball, more power than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, look up the sky at first place. Superman! I surprised myself how I remembered it all. It was one of those things that, I guess, well, if you're around my age, you would have, and you had the ability to do it, you would have raced home from school, had your bread and honey sandwich at 4 o'clock or whatever, and put yourself in front of the television for the next exciting episode of The Adventures of Superman. Today, the anniversary, they say, of the publication of the first ever Superman comic in 1938. We are going to find out all about that today. Going to catch up with a man who runs a Superman website. His name is Steve Eunice. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, how you doing?
You like me? Oh, you're probably a little bit younger than me from the sound of your voice.
Yeah, I'm in my early 30s.
Oh, you're in your early 30s. So, was Superman still on television when you were growing up as a kid?
Well, we grew up with, obviously, repeats of the 1950s TV show, and there was, you know, cartoons and Saturday mornings and Super Friends, and then in the 90s, the Lois and Clark TV show.
Yeah, I must admit, I probably wouldn't have been around for the original screenings as well. Well, they wouldn't have been, I suppose they would have been screened in Australia originally, wouldn't they? Television started in Australia in 1956. Superman was well and truly running by then, wasn't
it? Yes, that's right,
TV
yeah.
Series.
Yep, that's for sure.
The publication of the comic, but from your website, I'm learning that a lot of the people that we came to know as part of the Superman legend, people like Inspector Bill Henderson and Perry White, the editor of the Daily Planet, Jimmy Olsen, they were all created once the radio series started in 1940.
That's right. Jimmy and Perry were first seen in the radio series in the 1940s and then were quickly adopted into the comic book stories.
So, and then the comic book would have added those characters once they were on radio.
Yeah, that's right. The popularity of the characters on radio, you know, saw that them filter into the comic books, and that's kind of been a history of things with Superman. You know, in other mediums such as movies and TV and radio, when something popular is caught on in those mediums, it's filtered through back through into the comics.
It's an endearing legend, isn't it? And it's currently being filmed yet again at Fox Studios in Sydney for a movie called Superman Returns.
That's right. It's been a long time coming, this new movie. It's been off and on for about 10 years now, and finally it's up and running. They've started filming, as you said, in Fox Studios in Sydney, and also up in northern New South Wales in Tamworth, where they did some scenes for the Kent Farm. And, yeah, so it's due for release in June 30th, 2006.
So when the first ever edition of Superman the comic hit the newsstands, let's call them, how did it go?
Well, it was an instant hit. Superman comics sold in their millions during that period. And unfortunately, only six known copies of Action Comics number one remain in the world. And one of them is currently in a museum in New York, I believe.
What would they be worth?
Well, at one stage recently, I think a copy of Action Comics number one sold for $200,000 US.
And it has to be in pretty good condition, I suppose.
Definitely. That was not in mint condition. I don't think there a mint copy exists, because they would have been read and thrown under the bed and all manner of things. You know, they weren't treated as collectibles back then, more as just funny books to read in school or something, I guess.
What's the earliest one you've got?
I've got an issue of Superman number, I think it's number 12, from 1942.
And what would that be worth on the market these days, Steve?
Well, this one, it's a pretty bad copy. It's, you know, it's got some stains on the cover and it's a bit torn, so its value would be, you know, very minimal, like under $100, just because of the fact that it's, you know, not in very good condition.
And how many comics do you have all up of Superman?
Well, I've got about 10 or 11 boxes full of comics that I've collected since the early 1990s.
How often do you read them?
I very rarely go back and have a look at them, because there are comics released every week, so there's always new comics to read.
So why do you keep them?
Oh, just for collectibles, I guess. Just something that maybe I'll pass on to my kids, hopefully, one day, and, you know, be able to share that the joy that I had in reading them.
It's pretty interesting. phenomenon, isn't it? The collection of these sorts of comics, superhero comics. Was Superman the first superhero comic?
That's right. Superman was the original superhero. He created the genre, and Batman soon followed a year after. And all other heroes or superheroes are derivatives of Superman.
Is Superman still the top of at the top of the list of those sorts of comics?
Well, his sales have fluctuated over time as, you know, interest has waxed and waned. But at the moment, one of the Superman comics is always within the top 10 of sales each month.
And he was sort of the forerunner for all the ones that came after. They had some sort of special, what we consider, superhuman power.
That's right, yeah. He was the first superhero, and Spider-Man, Batman, the Hulk, Fantastic Four, Wonder Woman all came after Superman and because of Superman.
Was it Jerry Siegel, I think, was the creator of Superman, wasn't he?
Jerry Siegel was the writer, and Joe Shuster was the artist who created the character, yes.
Did they make a lot of money in their lifetime?
Not at all. They sold the rights to Superman for about $130 back in the time. So for them it was probably a bit of money at the time, but nothing in comparison to what the character has created since. And there was some legal battles throughout the decades as, you know, in trying to get some more, you know, back for creating the character.
So, when it became a radio serial in 1940, who would have been writing that?
That would have been just people who were working, you know, within the industry at that stage. Jerry Siegel did go on to write comic book stories for Superman and Superboy for DC Comics over the years, but didn't have any rights to ownership of the character at that stage.
Because it would seem that a lot of other people then have contributed to what has become the legend of Superman, the other characters that were introduced, like Inspector Bill Henderson, Perry White, Jimmy,
yep.
Those sorts of people. So they all these things came along later. When Jerry Siegel created the character of Superman then, did he come from the planet Krypton, and did he have this one fatal flaw to an element from the planet Krypton?
No, well, he did come from Krypton, and there, you know, there was Superman, and there was Lois Lane, and there was at that stage it was called the Daily Star, but it was soon turned over to the Daily Planet. And Jerry did have a story for an element like Kryptonite, but it never was published. And Kryptonite actually also first appeared in the radio series and was soon adapted into the comics. But yeah, many creators over the years have added their little bit into the character's history, and he has adapted and improved and you know, grown over the decades. So while Jerry and Joe did create the character and the look initially, there have been a lot of contributors who have created the character that we're familiar with today.
Steve Eunice, we're speaking with at 27 minutes past, or 27 minutes to 10, here on our morning program, ABC Radio in the North and West. He is the editor-in-chief and owner of the Superman homepage. And if you want to look that up, it's Superman homepage, all one word, .com, which has got just about everything you need to know about Superman. Steve, we were mentioning that in 1945, the FBI actually raided the offices of DC Comics and didn't allow the publication of a comic that was all about some sort of nuclear weapon.
That's right. Funny how art you know, reflects real life. At the time, obviously, the US government was working on the nuclear weapon that they had for the Second World War, and DC Comics writers were obviously of good enough imagination that they came up with something that was similar enough that created a problem for the government.
So before we go any further, I want to ask you, who actually created this then?
Powers and abilities far beyond those.
it's originally, it comes from, in the 1940s, they created some cartoons that were put into the cinemas. They were created by the Fleischer Studios, and there were 17 of those cartoons which had an adaptation of that theme. So that was where it originated. So that was something that the 1950s TV show created for their introduction to the series, and it's something that sticks with people's minds, generations after.
It sure is. I'm actually starting to remember the last time I would have actually really raced home to watch Superman, and I was actually, it was a visit to New York, and cable television was something new to me in those days. Of course, it didn't exist in Australia. This was back in 1990, and there was a channel on the cable television network in New York called Nick at Night, and they would show F Troop, Get Smart, and Superman all in a row, and I'm at the racing home every night. The terrible thing to do is that you're in this big city, New York, and you race home to watch this group of programs on television, and Superman was one of those, and I loved it. Interesting about the television series of Superman, the first few episodes were filmed in 1951, but there wasn't much excitement about them.
Well, it was shot in 1951, and hadn't been picked up by any network at that stage, so the actors went on to do other work, and it wasn't until 1953 that it actually aired in America. And nobody thought that it would actually see the light of day. And so they originally did the series and went on to do other work until it got picked up in 1953 when they were all called back to continue on the series.
So that's how come there's two Lois Lanes. Obviously, the character that played the first Lois Lane in the 51 episodes didn't come back to do the rest.
That's right. Phyllis Coates was the original Lois Lane at the time. Noel Neill, who had starred as Lois Lane in two serials starring Kirk Allen before the TV series, was called back to continue her role as Lois Lane and did that for the majority of the series.
Were all episodes made in black and white? In colour?
No, the original, I think it was the first season or first two seasons were shot in black and white, and then when colour became available to them, even though TV was still in black and white, they realised that shooting them in colour would enable them to have colour reruns once that came about. So they had the foresight to shoot in colour when it was available to them.
George Reeves looks a lot better in colour in the costume, doesn't he, than in black and white?
Well, yeah, that's interesting because in the black and white series, they actually the costume itself was grey and brown, which looked better, defined better on screen in black and white. So it wasn't until they were shooting in colour that they actually created a costume that was the familiar red and blue.
You're a wealth of information on this. 104 episodes in all were made. You've listed every single episode on your website, including basically a storyboard rundown of what happens in that episode. And you also tell me something I didn't know, that a number of black and white episodes from 1953 were pieced together and then distributed as films.
That's right. Originally they created a movie called Superman and the Mole Men, which ended up being split into two episodes, which was later on shown in the TV shows. A few of them were connected together and sent and put out as film. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen any of those.
Well, I don't think they were actually released. I think they may have been just shown in cinemas. Put together for video cassettes and things like that. But, basically just the same episodes are just kind of spliced together to form some kind of a story back.
George Reeves played the Superman character, alias Clark Kent, in the television series. What is the story about George Reeves' death? Because I remember in the school playground, kids saying, oh, he thought he could fly, and he jumped out of a building trying to fly and died.
Yeah, that's actually untrue. I don't know where that rumour comes from. George Reeves actually died from a gunshot to the head, and the official police report was that it was suicide, but there is a lot of speculation and a lot of doubt about some of that evidence, and many people believe that he was actually murdered. But it's interesting that you mentioned that, because a film is currently being made about the life and death of George Reeves, and Ben Affleck is playing George Reeves in that film, so that should be out, I think, sometime next year as well.
Okay, it's an exciting time for, I guess, Superman fans and all things Superman. George Reeves, I think he gave a great performance in the film From Here to Eternity.
That's right. It's when he first met Jack Larson. They spoke about many of the films. Jack Larson played Jimmy Olsen in that TV series. They introduced each other by complimenting each other on the films that they'd done previous to their work on Superman, and that was one of George's best films, and he was also one of the twins in Gone with the Wind.
All right, is there any website we can go to and check out more about the demise of George Reeves, whether it be suicide or you perhaps suggest that maybe it wasn't?
Well, there is obviously my website you can go to for some of that information. There's another very good website called jimnolt.com, which is J-I-M-N-O-L-T. He has quite an extensive website on George Reeves and George Reeves alone.
All right, thanks for joining us this morning, Steve. But before we let you go, as I mentioned, a new Superman film is currently being filmed at Fox Studios in Sydney. It's called Superman Returns, and it's due for release about this time next year. One of the features of that film is that Jack Larson, the Jimmy Olsen from the 1950s television series, makes a cameo appearance, and you actually got to meet him.
That's right. I'm actually good friends with Noelle Neal, who played Lois Lane in that series, and she's also got a part, a small part in this new movie, and as does Jack Larson. So when Jack came out to film his part in Sydney, I met up with him, thanks to Noelle, and had dinner with him and spoke with him at length about his career, about his part in the movie, and about his friendship with George Reeves.
Is Noelle Neal her real name?
Yes, as far as I know.
Parents were having a bit of a joke there, weren't they? You could say Noel Neal, could you?
Yeah.
How old would they be now?
Well, Jack is in his early 70s, and Noelle is about 85.
How did you meet Noelle?
I went over to Metropolis, Illinois, which is a town in Illinois there that has a Superman festival every year in June. And it's a four-day festival, and they have the Superman Museum there and a 15-foot Superman statue in the town square. And I went over there for the celebration in 2003. And Noelle is known as the First Lady of Metropolis and is always a guest at the celebration. And we met up and became fast friends.
Fantastic. So that's on this year?
Yes, it is. It's on from, I think it's June 13th on for 4 days.
Are you going over?
Not this year. I think I'll be better placed staying close by Sydney for any news that comes out about the new movie.
Steve, I really appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
Steve Eunice, now your website is just, do you need to put in any capitals at all or just supermanhomepage.com?
Just supermanhomepage.com, and that'll get you to the website.
Enjoy your Superman, Steve.
Thank you very much.
It's 17 to 10, our morning program, ABC Radio in the North and West.